Donna Cowley immigrated to Canada with her husband and family 40 years ago and became a member of the fellowship about 15 years ago. Donna was raised a Catholic, but read widely as a teen and a young woman regarding religion and philosophy, becoming an agnostic and eventually an atheist. She values our Unitarian Fellowship for the people and our principles. Donna.
For most of my life, I would not tell anybody that because I felt that it would put me so far aside from everyone else or that I would hurt their feelings. So anyway, I'm glad that you indulged me with this. I first wrote this talk, not this talk, but another one, last year. And I volunteered with our services, with Helen, that if we needed, that I would be willing to summarize the issue of Just News that had come out in September. And as it happened, we were able to fill in all of the slots and it wasn't needed, and I set aside the paper that I had written. And of course, this fall, Helen and I decided that perhaps this would be a good time for me to give this paper. And then I looked at the first paper I had written, and of course so much had happened in between that it really wasn't, there wasn't much left of that paper. So I have rewritten it. So in the next 20 minutes, I will attempt to summarize three different discussion papers released by the CUSJ, or the Canadian Unitarians for Social Justice. And sometimes I will say just SJ. Each of these papers considers, with a call for a study of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and ultimately an action plan for CUC. The first paper was released in Just News in the autumn of 2013, and that's the one that I first read. The second in December of 2013, and it was a kind of a revision paper that had come in from people around the country who had sent in their recommendations. And then the third on March the 17th of 2014, and it was also published in Just News. The purpose of this presentation is twofold. First, to inform our fellowship of the work of the CUSJ, and second, give members of the fellowship an opportunity to study the issue and contribute their views to the formalization of a resolution to be presented for a possible vote at the 2016 AGM, if there are people interested in doing that. I'll begin with the first paper, the autumn 2013 issue of Just News. It was devoted exclusively to the issue of peace between Israel and Palestine. Reverend Francis Deverell wrote the paper with support from the CUSJ Working Group. It was presented to the Unitarian community for discussion on September the 2nd of 2013. The discussion paper is 10 pages long, followed by a page of notes and 11 sources of further study. Now, those of you who have read that issue will appreciate the difficulty of summarizing such a lengthy, complex paper. However, I'm going to do my best to summarize the content and the intent of those 10 pages. A call for peace between Israel and Palestine is divided into six sections. There's an introduction, Number two is why the CUSJ should take a stand on this issue. The third is the current situation. The fourth is the theological grounds for action. The fifth is human rights. And the sixth is security. As you can see, the discussion is far too dense and lengthy for me to summarize each section, but the overall message of the report is sympathetic to the plight of the Palestinian people. The authors of the paper declare that it is not their role to decide who is at fault or provide a solution. They do, however, condemn violence on both sides. However, they believe the imbalance of power does lead to a terrible situation of injustice for the Palestinians. Over the years, the Palestinians have, of necessity, abandoned individual acts of terror, and they've learned strategies of nonviolence to state their case. And in many cases, these are the kinds of demonstrations that we see on TV. It may be kids throwing stones at huge tanks, that sort of thing. On the other hand, Israel continues to use all the force of a huge war machine to suppress any and all resistance. But the Palestinians continue to resist. At this point, I will briefly list a few of the actions by Israel that are discussed in the paper as illustrating this overwhelming power that they have. One, a glance at a map of the West Bank illustrates the steady takeover of Palestinian land. In fact, as an aside, Israel announced 10 days ago or so during the peace negotiations the annexation of 40 hectares more of Palestinian land. Two, Israel has expropriated over 45% of the West Bank. They have taken the best soil and most of the water. Three, Israel maintains a brutal and illegal siege of Gaza. Nothing enters or leaves Gaza without Israeli permission. Four, Palestinians living in the West Bank are subjected to military rule, and this was something that I have just recently researched. It was something I did not know. They are subjected to military rule, arrest and detention without charge or trial. Palestinian Israel citizens face severe housing shortages, job and educational discrimination. Five, both Gaza and Palestine suffer psychological trauma, horrific living conditions, extreme poverty, and lack of freedom. Six, a viable Palestinian state cannot be sustained without control over its own resources. Israel has been tapping into their water resources since 1967. Recent oil and gas discoveries off the coast of Gaza present new problems. Will Palestinians have the right to develop and control that resource? It seems doubtful when the sea blockade allows the Palestinians to fish only 3 miles from shore. And during the recent negotiations, I think that was extended, it may be, from 3 miles to 6 miles. Number seven, a growing list of churches, humanitarian organizations, legal groups, and universities have been recognizing with various actions the desperate plight of the Palestinians. This summary is totally inadequate, and I urge anyone who's interested in the issue to read that particular issue of Just News online or obtain a copy. But I really can't spend any more time on that. I've just got to move along. The last section of this paper is a call to action. And this section is lengthy also, but I'm only going to mention the most contentious issue that is brought up in that paper. The paper recommends that to CUSJ, that's the social justice groups, their chapters and individuals that they support BDS campaigns. BDS stands for a boycott, divestment, and sanctions of Israel. Over the months following the publication of this paper, various groups and individuals throughout our entire group responded with their criticisms and suggestions. And in December of 2013, a second paper was published. Now, I did receive that because I think Helen knew that I was interested in the subject and was sort of looking at this paper, but I don't think most people saw this one. And it also was titled Human Rights in Palestine and Israel. This paper provided a very brief background, unlike the one that was, you know, in the first paper. It was only 2 pages long. And a list of actions taken by various UU organizations in the States, a pastoral paper by Reverend Bill Sinkford, and none of these were only mentioned as something to look up. And they listed 204 resolution for the support of the Palestinians by the United Kingdom General Assembly of Unitarians. And a 200 resolution to end occupation of Gaza and the West Bank. This brief statement was followed by a resolution to, one, establish a study group to gather information on all aspects of the conflict, two, that congregations be encouraged to study the situation during 2015, it named members of the study group, and then the study group be prepared to propose a motion for the 2015 CU AGM. I was not aware until the summer issue of Just News that a third amended resolution was presented at the AGM. I have made copies of this resolution, and at the end of this talk, I will pass those out, and we will take a quick look at it. Let me see. So, back to the AGM of May 2014. Our president, Joanne Green, and Wayne Williamson, a member of our Social Action Committee, were our delegates. On the Friday evening prior to the Saturday AGM, discussion was long and heated. If I understand correctly, many delegates came to support or oppose the first resolution. Many of them had not seen the third. Opponents found the wording ambiguous, and delegates were uncertain what they were voting for. I can imagine that there was a great deal of confusion. A motion was accepted to postpone indefinitely in order to give the team room to come back with a better worded and clearer resolution. So that means that did not come to a vote, it was not defeated, it was set aside indefinitely, and the group was to come back at some later date. After the meeting, feelings ran high because activists thought the vote showed a lack of will or to take action on the injustices occurring in Palestine. Where CUSJ and or the CUC will go with this issue is in limbo, as far as I can see. But it is important, I feel, for us to be aware of the issues being discussed by our CUC and our social justice. It is dope. I got it. I think what it is when I lean forward, I'll step back. It is doubtful that the Israeli-Palestinian dispute will go away. I have chatted with the chair of our Social Justice Action Committee, Carol Porter, and anyone interested in establishing a study group may contact Carol or either of the other two members of our group, David Cowley or Wayne Williamson. In closing, I want to make two more quick points. All of this, the resolutions and the AGM, took place prior to the latest Israeli-Palestinian war. Both countries suffered loss of life. The Israelis lost 67 citizens, and the Palestinians lost well over 2,000. In addition, thousands on both sides were injured. Missiles were fired into Israel much deeper than ever before. Homes in Israel on the southern border of Gaza were destroyed and caused evacuation. And two civilians there were killed. Actually, those two civilians out of the 68, the 66 were soldiers and two civilians. The Palestinians suffered massive destruction. Homes, apartment buildings, factories, hospitals, schools, including UN buildings, power and sanitation facilities, and drinking water facilities were heavily bombed or destroyed. I have added these comments of my own to suggest this dispute is not about to go away. The question is this a topic that individuals in our fellowship would like to study, to make their views known to CUSJ or to the CUC? We're a very small group. We have lots of things that we are interested in, discrimination in our own country, devastation of our environment, and we must choose what we want to be interested in. This brings me to my second point. Today, I would like all remarks and questions to be directed to this question. Are any individuals interested in forming a study group? I don't want to talk about the issues of Palestine, Israel. I don't think that this is the forum for doing that. What we want to discuss today is, are any individuals interested in forming a study group? If people in this fellowship feel inspired to study this crisis further with intent to sharing their findings with SJ and CUC, this is an opportunity to do so. And even if we don't participate, hopefully our fellowship will be kept in the loop. I would like at this time to quote the ending of one of Francis Devrault's remarks. As a result of the resolution process, there is an active and vital conversation taking place in congregations across the country. Whether we pass the resolution or not, and as I've explained, it was not passed, the conversation has begun. May it be engaging, respectful, and fruitful. Prior to discussing our possible participation in a study group, I would like to call to your attention to the resolution presented at the AGM, the one that they decided not to vote on. And I thought this would really make us very aware of what was going on in the social justice. I'm going to ask David on this side and Ingrid over here, and we made 25. I think that there will be enough for all of the people here, and if not, please share. And so would those be passed out, and then I'll just carry on for another minute or two. While we're waiting, I want to call attention. I have laid out here many of the books and the that I have read in the past, and in addition to that, much of the material that has come out from the CUC and from Just News. So please feel free to come up and take a look at those things. So what I would like for you to do is to turn the page over. Oh, I want to explain. At the top, there is a list, which I hope you will read later, and a little map that shows what has happened in Israel, Palestine, what's happened in Palestine since the years are down there. And it shows the extent of the land that has been lost by the Palestinians. But what I would like now is for you to turn the paper over and to look at just at the last part, therefore be it resolved that. And here is what they were suggesting. To assemble information and resources to enable congregational study of the history of the conflict in Palestine and Israel, the present conditions which prevail in the state of Israel, including the occupied territories of Gaza and the West Bank, and various actions being undertaken or recommended around the world to bring peaceful resolution to the situation, including the ongoing BDS initiative. So, number two is that member congregations be encouraged to undertake this study, 2014 through 15, about the conditions in Palestine and Israel. And three, that the study group members be, and the names were provided as to who they wanted to be the study group, and then the study group should be prepared to propose a motion on the subject for the 2016 AGM. Now this, and I hope that you will go back to read from the very beginning, but I didn't want to take that much time. That's the background that came before they presented what they were recommending. So I think that about completes what I tried to put together here. I'm sorry I couldn't do a better job summarizing the first paper because it was so complex and so long. But anyway, at this point, I will be willing to answer questions regarding or to hear people's suggestions about having a study group. So,
hi, I would have liked it because I'm interested in so much, but I'm finding I'm having to focus, so I won't be part of the study group. I'll be pleased if other people do it. Just a suggestion that there be a special time when there's some kind of report from the study group to the group, whoever comes. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we have a special gathering for a report.
Mm-hmm. But excuse me for a minute. Would you take this down, Helen? I didn't ask you ahead of time, but you know, we really should keep track of what people are suggesting.
And I think, you know, I was on the Social Action Committee.
Is there a podcast? There's a podcast.
Yeah, but okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. That's all right, I forgot. I was on the Social Action Committee. I had to go off it because I just couldn't handle it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm on the board and also involved with the children's program, blah, blah. So we're also, a lot of us are spread very thinly. I want to focus on matters of poverty and the racism towards our own indigenous population.
Right.
And I would love for us to be involved in that as well.
Right.
So, you know, there's a war going on in Canada and has been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so pleased to see Indigenous people standing up and taking hold of things. But I think it'd be nice if we could do that too.
Right. But your priority is that we would concentrate on the Aboriginal and our problems here.
Right.
All right.
This is such a confusing issue, and Donna, thank you for trying to bring some clarity to it. I understand that the CUC wants to make a statement of some kind, a public statement, and where does that come?
Just a minute, I want to correct you there. It's not the CUC, but it is the social justice. It is the CUC social justice, and the reason why I want to explain that is because I didn't understand it until Joanne explained it to me. And this is a group that is totally independent of it. It is a group that we belong to as individuals, and the individuals who are in each fellowship and congregation. And so it is the social justice who is making this recommendation to the CUC. And whether the CUC even, you know, how they take it, I don't know. But, you know, I think it's important that we recognize where this is coming from, and that these people are the people who are on, it's called Canadian Unitarians. It's not an actual committee. It's Canadian Unitarians, all of us who are interested. So, but I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. In the end, the Canadian Unitarians for Social Justice wants to make a recommendation to the CUC
mm-hmm.
to make a public statement
right.
about the conflict.
Right.
And in the way that the CUC does in other kinds of issues
Absolutely.
That it feels as an organization
right.
it supports or does not support. So that's where the buck will stop. It you know, the end result is the need for some kind of statement. And now where was I going with that? It's such a fraught discussion that I'm with Ingrid in staying local, i.e. Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel that there is some work that can be done there and progress that can be made. I don't feel that we can make a difference in this case. However, I'm thinking that I would like to see the question go to our board. And if the board wants to put the question out and make a flat opportunity for people to join a study committee, and then that would serve the purpose. The committee could study and make a recommendation to the CUSJ, and that would be fine. But yes, I think what I'm saying is let's hand it over to the board.
Now, prior to giving this talk, I checked with the president, and she felt that this should not come, that it should not go to the board as such, but initially should go to the chairperson of this and the committee of our social action group, and that those people, it would not necessarily have to go through the board at all, but those people, because that's what our social action committee is those people who want to study an issue. And then when that goes forward, if I understand correctly, it's not that they would speak for the whole of the fellowship or of the of any particular fellowship or congregation, but it would be as members of that committee. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think the issue that we're dancing around here is our federal government, because the federal government has rescinded charitable status from a number of organizations
who
they deem to be political.
Mm-hmm.
And in their interpretation of the rules for charitable organizations, they shall not be involved in political activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so the actions that they've done in past years, for example, Kairos, mm-hmm. things like that,
right, there are so many.
Now we're tippy-toeing around here, so that there is a danger of us losing our charitable.
Does that apply to religious?
Oh, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
no
and,
question.
And certainly that is what was explained to me by Joanne, and that is why it is important that it go through our social action committee, because that is not, we are not then, whatever was to come out of that is not the voice of the CUC,
right.
But it is the voice of the social action committee. And if those reports go to the CUC, then the CUC they have made many statements on this issue, but it would be that they would be able to, the Social Justice Committee can, not a committee, all of these people can make statements that are much more politically based than the CUC as such can make. And so, you know, there can be two voices here, really. Now, that's how I understood it.
That's what we're up against.
Yes, you know, exactly.
The CUC cannot be political, but the Canadian Unitarians for Social Justice can be. Because
that's
they're not going for charitable status.
That's correct.
So is Harper going to take on the Presbyterians?
Yes, that's one of the interesting things, and I don't know the answer to this, but the United Church, which I rather would expect it, has made statements very sympathetic to the Palestinians. What really surprised me is that about sometime in June, I believe it was, or July, I have it right here. Action alert. Minutes ago, and this was June the 20th of 2014, minutes ago, the Presbyterian Church voted to divest from companies that profit from the Israeli occupation and focus on positive investment and promote reconciliation. So I, you know, this, I do not understand how, what the complexities are, you know, in terms of what we're talking about here. So that would have to be, but none of that prevents us from having a study group and doing this. On the other hand, as Ingrid and both you have said, we do have other issues, and you look around, we're a very small group, so we do need to make those decisions. If there aren't any other, is there anyone else who has any comments? If not, thank you very much for listening to this long and in many ways very boring, complex presentation. So thank you very much.